last night. I said, as I sat down and was finishing up the message, I said, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with Easter or the resurrection. And she, amen, being the sweet Holy Spirit she is, she said, is it about Jesus? I said, well, yeah, every message is about Jesus. She said, then it's about the resurrection. Amen. And so I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 22 and Philippians chapter number 3 and the other hand. And again, I do not want to be long. I know folks got time to spend with family and all that. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ is worthy to be honored and praised and worshipped and adored. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. And every now and again, you just need to go back in your heart and in your mind to think about the day that He saved you. Man, I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget that day when He saved my soul. And I'm unworthy to even be standing here today, but He is worthy. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 22. In verse number 4, this is what the world recognizes as Easter Sunday, and it's also April Fool's Day. Amen. April Fool's and Easter right on the same day. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 22. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is what? Foolish. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have non-understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no what?
Knowledge.
He tells them here that His people are foolish because they have not known God, and they are wise to do evil, and they to do good, they have no knowledge. And I'm telling you what, I know it's, people might think it's coincidence that today's Easter and also April Fool's Day, and it falls on, I don't know if this has ever happened before, it might have happened in the past, but I don't ever remember it happening on the same day. But we live in a generation, in a world today that is full of fools.
Amen.
It is full of them, and Easter comes along, and we're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, and this holiday has gotten so far away from the resurrection of Christ, and it's about everything else under the sun but about Him. There's people today, they have no knowledge of God. They do not know who God is, and they'll fill churches up. Amen. We kind of make a light joke about it, the CEO Christians. So who's that? That's Christmas and Easter only. I said, we got a CEO text message group, amen? There's certain people I only hear about twice a year. Happy Easter and Merry Christmas, amen? The CEO text messengers. And but we live in a world today that's full of foolish things. And the Bible says here that they were wise to do evil. You know, it seems like you can only go to college to be as dumb as some of these people really are.
Amen.
You have to go to college to be as dumb as what they are. Amen. All these college students and high school students. Our country is really in a condition that a 15 to 16 year old boy is going to have to straighten us out on our gun control.
Yeah.
We are a laughingstock to other countries. I want to tell you that right now.
Yep.
It is a joke. Amen. These are the same teenagers that were eating Tide Pods a month ago.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden they're the experts. Amen. Wise to do evil. And we're living in that day and age. In the Bible, God said that they were a foolish people because they did not know God. They did not have a knowledge of Him. And we're living in a day and age where this world is full of that right now.
Yeah.
They're wise to do evil. I tell you what, man's imagination is one of the most wicked things you'll ever see in this world. They think of it, they imagine it, they try to do it, and it's a very wicked thing. It's a wicked imagination. There's a lot of sin on the rampant in the street, and a man has come up with all these clever ways to do it, and they have no knowledge of who God is. And you know what's sad to think, Brother Cody? That there's actually churches this morning that are full of people. Because it's Easter Sunday. They're full of people that are sitting in church, and they're going through the motions of it. They do not know God.
Amen.
There were some of them that were out drinking yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Man.
There's some of them, Brother Steve, that are sitting in church this morning, and they're not married, but they've been living together.
Man.
There's some of them that went to bed last night listening to Phil.
Amen.
There's some of them that went to bed last night watching a movie of all kind of adultery and fornication and disgustingness on there, but yet they're sitting in church this morning, and they're going through the motions. All over, Brother Hunter. There's churches everywhere.
Lord is filled with people this morning that are coming into the house of God. Amen. And they came in because they're supposed to go, and they have no knowledge of God. And God's looking down saying, you're fools.
Amen.
How would you like for God to call you a fool?
Come on with it.
You know what they said? God said they don't know me. Yeah. Oh, foolish people. Can I tell you that God wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him?
Yeah.
Brother, God cares about us.
Right.
He knows how many hairs are on our head. And He knows how many are missing. Amen. Brother, He knows everyone that's ever been there. And ever left and ever will be.
Amen.
God cares about us that much, and He knows that.
That's right.
But how much do we know about Him?
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking this past week. Brother Bob over here, I call him Boss. And he sent me a text that says, happy anniversary. Amen. From when we first met and I first started working with them. And I've been there for about 6 years now. And I got to thinking, if I've been there for 6 years... And going back those past 6 years, if I didn't know anything more than the day I started, I promise I wouldn't still be working there.
Amen.
I wouldn't have survived the regime, amen, the Bible regime. I wouldn't have made it through there. And I'm sure that those that are bosses and have been in positions, if you get somebody, you hire them, and then they start off with all kind of ambition, and you think they're going to set the workplace on fire, and they go through their career, and a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and they don't know nothing. Guess what they do? They get kicked out. Amen. Say, what have you learned? You got to learn. You got to grow. You got to learn. You got to develop. If you're going to work for somebody. We say, yeah, I wouldn't let somebody work for me, man. If they work for me for 2 or 3 years and they still don't know what we do, that's a problem.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You guys say, do you understand what we do here? On your third year anniversary, do you understand what we're trying to do here? Amen. Wouldn't that be a problem, Brother Hodge, if somebody worked for you and years went by and they don't know anything about you? They don't know anything about the company. They don't know anything that makes you happy. Amen. Miss Ashley works here. Doesn't work here. She's here. Amen. But she works with me. I'm sure by now we've worked together long enough that she knows what would make me upset. Amen. I'm sure she knows that. She's figured some of that out. And been there. She knows what we got to do, what jobs got to be done, and all those kind of things. And there's some people that do that. They show up to work and they have no clue what's going on.
Man.
They wouldn't last there long, would they? I was at Burger King the other day, working for a little while we were waiting to go out to set up our camp. We went camping this weekend, and we're sitting there. One of the young men from Burger King came up to me, and he's mopping the floor. And you know, he walked up to me all serious and said, listen, a friend of mine just did this at Walmart not long ago, and it worked. I'm going to mop the floor and forget to put the thing out. You stand up and fall, and we'll split it. Never cracked a smile. I mean, he looked at me and said, I'm telling you, this works. A friend of mine just did this at Walmart here recently. And it works. And I was like, first of all, do I look like somebody that is interested in doing something like that? Are you going to come? And then I got looking around. I was the only one in there. So I'm like, well, at least he didn't pick me out in the crowd. He looks like he's looking for a way out. Amen. And then I was like, you want me to do what? Look how big I am. When I fall, it's no easy fall. There's lasting consequences to it. Amen. It's not an easy fall. Amen. And the third thing was, why does young people not want to work for what they get today? Why don't they want to get a job and work? They want everything their parents have and everything their grandparents have, but they don't want to do nothing for it. They're looking for a free paycheck. Amen. Man, that bothered me. I was waiting for him to come back out there because I wanted to talk to him and preach to him, man. But he never showed back up. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the end of his shift, or I don't know what happened. Maybe he was embarrassed. But he came. But you know, you go through a job and you go through there and you work for a certain amount of time and you don't know nothing about the company. You don't know nothing about your boss. You don't know nothing about what you're supposed to do, and you're not going to last very long. At least not where we're at. You're not going to last long. It's not going to happen. You know what? Somehow we think that this thing of church and God, that we can just go through the motions, Brother Hunter. That we can just go through the motions. We really don't need to know God. We all right? We don't really need to know God. We don't really need to know His Bible. We don't really need to know His instructions for our life. Some of us have been saved for years. Some maybe 1 year, some 10 years, some 20, some 30. Just go through the motions. I'm thankful God's not like the workplace. He's not just going to boot you out and say you're not saved no more. Thank God for it, amen. Thank God for His mercy and grace and long suffering. The title of my message this morning is, Are You a Fool? I'm not calling you a fool. I'm not going to do it. But God said they were a foolish people because they knew not Him. And I'm telling you this morning, we need to know God. We need to get to know Him. We don't need to act however we want to act and do whatever we do. And if we do sin, it needs to bother us. And we need to get right with Him because we know it just upset God.
Amen.
Amen. If we treated church like we did the workplace, we'd probably be a little bit better off in church. In some cases. You know, there's some people, they're not going to be late for work. Why? They're going to get written up. But they don't think twice about it for church. Amen. There's some folks that, you know, a workplace has a certain dress standard. You got to dress. You can't just go to work any way you want to. But people treat church that way. I can just live however I want to. That boss man, he'll get on to somebody, and he'll get upset at them, and he'll talk to them rough about doing their job right. They'll sit there and say, yes, sir, take it. The preacher gets up and preaches, well, why is he saying that?
Amen.
Amen. I can't believe he's doing that. You're not going to talk to me that way. Amen. Why don't you just quit your job that way? Amen. Are we all right this morning?
Amen.
I'm talking about knowing God. I'd rather know Him way more than I know my job.
Amen.
If I know Him like I ought to, God will take care of the job part.
Amen.
He'll work on that. He'll give me the knowledge. Hey, he went over there with Moses. He was over there with Moses, and he told Moses what he wanted him to do, and he gave him instructions on how to do it. And Moses said, I can't do it. God said, you just be willing, and I'll help you.
Amen. Amen.
He gave Moses the tools that he needed. What about Noah with that ark? Noah was not a big shipbuilder at this time. There were no big ships.
That's right.
Amen. And what happened? God just told Noah, you be willing to do it, and I'll tell you what to do.
Amen.
Amen. You get to know who God is, and He'll help you in your job. He'll help you in the workplace. But man,
people will call in to church for the smallest thing. Aunt Betty Susie's little daughter stubbed her toe, so the whole family's staying home today. Amen. Do you do that for work? Happy Easter. Amen. Praise the Lord. For my people is foolish. My people is foolish. They have not known me. The end of that verse says, but to do good they have no knowledge. Do we know God this morning? Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. You might go to somebody and they've been at their job a long time, and I know Brother Heitch is, I'm not picking on him, he's been at his job for a while, and he knows every in and every out and every nook and every cranny of that job. And you guys, Brother Bobby, I'm just using the illustrations I know of this morning, amen? We go into some of these hospitals and stuff and go in there, and some of these older guys, they know every single, they know every part of that plant. They're retiring, and these younger guys are coming in, and they don't know anything, but they don't care to know anything. They don't care to know where every little thing is. Man, you hear a strange noise, and some of them old-timers go, I'll tell you exactly what boiler that is or exactly what pipe it is, and they'll take you over to it, and they know where every breaker is. They know where everything is in that place. And some of these new guys, they're just there to get a paycheck, and they don't care.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes our Christian life becomes that way. Yeah. We're just here to get a paycheck from God. Lord, we went to church today. I'm punching my time card. Now what are you going to do for me?
Come on.
Amen. God says, oh, foolish people. They don't know me. You know what God desires? David, you know what God desires? He desires for us to know Him.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't want us to treat church like a job.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to treat it like punching a time stamp that we made it to church. Worked overtime and came at 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Get out of here this afternoon and say, God, now I was there for 3 services. We were there for, God, 6 o'clock in the morning. You know me, Lord. I came in early for you. I was there for Sunday school. I was there for morning service, Lord. Now, what are you going to do for me this week? No, God wants to know you.
Amen.
He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him, and He wants you to desire Him. Philippians chapter number 3, and I'm just going to read this verse. I'm not going to get into it until the end of the message, and let me hurry along, or I'm going to break my promise to the kids. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. Look what Paul says right here. I tell you what, church, I love God.
Amen.
And He's been good to me.
That's right.
And it breaks my heart the times that I've broke his heart. And it breaks my heart the times that I've done wrong against him, and it didn't break my heart. Why? Because I didn't know God like I ought to. Know the things that he knows, and knows the things he likes, and the things he dislikes. How am I going to do that, Brother Andrew? I'm getting ahead of myself. This is how you're going to get to know him. Man, he wrote out a manual for you. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, you there? Yea, doubtless, this is Paul, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may what? Know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I'm going to go back to these verses here in just a second. But I want to tell you right now, church, the devil does not want you to know God. This world does not want you to know God. That's why they kicked him out of the schools. What, was it back in the 60s? What, is that when they kicked him out? Was it like 63 or something like that? They kicked him out of the schools. That's why they kicked him out of the government. That's why they kicked him out of all these places. They do not want you to know who God is. Amen. Think Hollywood. They're coming out with all these movies. They got one about the Apostle Paul now that's come out. I'm telling you, if Hollywood's trying to teach you the Bible, then you're getting it wrong. Amen. Now, some of those movies, oh, man, it was a pretty good movie and whatever the plot. Most of them are going to have a Catholic twist on it. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you. Most of them are going to have that on it, and it's not going to be accurate to the Bible, the Word of God. You say, well, I'm going to go watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. Well, praise the Lord. That's fine. Amen. I might even watch it. I don't know. But I don't get my Bible from Hollywood.
Amen. That's right.
Because at the end of the day, they don't want you to know who God is. They want you to know all these other solutions and all these other things, and they want to try to take you as far away from God as they possibly can. They don't want God in your marriage. He doesn't want him in your home. He doesn't want him in your children. The devil does not want you to know God. He wants you to have a form of godliness,
but deny the power thereof. We talk about power, brother. We're talking about the resurrection of Christ. There's no greater power than a man that can bring his own life back. Man, I've heard of people dying, and somebody does CPR on them, amen, and they do it, they give CPR, and they come back to life. And man, that's great. I've heard of people saying they died for 10 seconds or a minute or whatever, and the doctors say they are medically, Brother Hunter, they're medically dead, they're gone. But then somebody give them CPR, something happens to bring them back, and all these things. Now, I've heard stories about that, but nobody has ever died, truly died, and then brought themselves back up again.
Amen.
You know who did that? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The devil's going to try to imitate that one day. There's going to be a man that's going to die, and he's going to come back up again. But I'm telling you right now, that man that died is not the same one that comes up.
That's right.
So where'd you get that? I read it in the Bible.
Amen.
The Antichrist. Somebody, man, brother, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that Judas Iscariot. We talked about Judas this morning at Sunday school. But how would you like to be the man that dies and the devil goes, I'm going to use his body? Why? Because he's had an influence against God. Amen. People like him. And so he's going to die one day and he's going to imitate it. But it's not that same man that rose again. The devil's going to go in him and stand up. That's a whole other Bible lesson for another time. But there's power in the resurrection.
Amen.
You know what God wants in your marriage, Brother Johnny? He wants power. He wants it in our home with our children. He wants that power. And he wants you to have godliness, not a form of godliness.
Amen.
God does not want want us to entertain ourselves with this world, the foolishness of it, because the world and the devil, they do not want you to know God.
Amen.
They're going to do everything they can to get you to doubt God. All these naysayers and all these people that say there are no resurrection. The Bible talks about the Sadducees. Amen. You know why they were sad? They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see.
Amen.
They did not believe in the resurrection. There's people today that do not believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back. They don't believe in this Bible's the Word of God. Hey, they don't believe any of those things. And the devil says, yep, I got them right where I know them. They don't. But you know what's even more scary than that? We have people that are sitting in churches. They're dressing up, amen. They look like the Easter Bunny threw up this morning in the church. They look like a bunch of little peeps. You know the little peeps, little marshmallow things? I'm not saying in here. Well, there's churches, I guarantee this morning, they are very colorful. Very colorful, amen. And they walk in there, and they're full of churches this morning, and the devil's sitting back, and he's loving every minute of it. What do you mean he's loving that they're going to church? No, no, he's loving that they're going through the motions.
That's right.
Because there's people that know them. And they know what they're really like. And they're sending more people to hell than they are winning people to Christ because of their life. And the devil loves it. He doesn't mind if you have a form of godliness. He doesn't mind if you look like you go to church. He doesn't mind if you look like you carry a Bible. He just doesn't want you read the Bible. He doesn't want you knowing the God of the Bible. He doesn't want you getting involved in church. You can go there, but don't go soul winning. Don't go to the nursing home. That's pushing it too far.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm losing some of you. I either need to get louder or hurry up. Amen. You know the Bible says, you don't have to turn there for sake of time. The Bible says in Psalms 92, verse 5, oh Lord, how great are thy works and thy thoughts. Thy thoughts are very deep. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, the Lord's works are great. Amen. I got choked up trying to sing that song just thinking about being a 10-year-old boy and God saving me. Because I wasn't there when they put him on the cross. And I wasn't there when they took him off that cross and they put him in the grave. And I wasn't there when he stood up and he rose again. But I was there when he saved my soul. And I'll never forget that day.
Amen.
I also went to the visitation. We'll say people, if you were to die today, where will you spend eternity? And they'll say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'll say, can you tell me when you got saved? Can you tell me about it? And they say, well, I can't tell you. Oh, man, I doubt your salvation. And that's between you and God. But I'll never forget where I was.
Yeah.
You tell me you met the creator of the heaven and earth, and he moved in your heart, and you don't know where you were?
Yeah.
So I don't remember the date. That's fine. I don't remember the hour. I don't even remember what I was wearing. That's fine. You know where you were when you met God.
Amen.
And I'll never forget where I was when the creator of the heaven and earth came in my heart.
Yeah.
I'm thankful my mom had enough wisdom to write it in her Bible, or I wouldn't know the date. I was 10 years old. I wasn't keeping up with the date.
Amen.
I was chasing girls, amen? But no, I'm not at 10. I was eating dirt. But I'll never forget that day when I got saved, Brother Hunter. I'll never forget it.
And the Bible says here in Psalms chapter 92, verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But listen to verse number 6. I know you're not turned there. Verse number 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
Right.
Amen. You know why? The devil and the world, they don't want you to know God. They don't want you to know how great God is. You know what? We go to youth camp. We're having camp meeting coming up here in a few weeks. And I'm excited about it. I hope y'all come, man. Come to camp meeting. We're going to come get preaching from the Word of God. You know what we're just trying to do? We're just trying to get myself and you to fall deeper in love with God.
Amen.
And say, man, thy works are great, Lord. Thy knowledge is deep. And God, I want to know you. And I want to have a relationship with you. And I want your blessings in my life. Not just because he's a blank paycheck, but because he's a great God.
Amen.
And get to know him. The Bible has a lot to say about fools. We don't have time this morning. The word fool, fools, foolish, foolishly, foolishness, 199 times in the Bible. Y'all got a few minutes? No. I'm not going to go. 109. Let me just give you a couple real quick. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. That's a fool to say that.
Amen.
I'm not calling him a fool. The Bible called him that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Are we not full of that? Turn on the news. Watch any of them. Amen. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He thinks. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin.
That's right.
You know what that is? They laugh at it. They think it's funny.
Yeah.
They think it's a joke. Can I remind you that the wages of sin is death? Y'all, do we think that's funny? No. But we'll sit there and laugh at it on the television. Amen. Proverbs 1:22. How long will fools hate knowledge? The Bible said a fool hates knowledge. We have got to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or be found a fool. There in Philippians chapter number 3. You still with me? I'm almost done. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. I'm just going to read it again. I'm in the preacher's class, and I'm showing them how to do outlines and do all these things, and I don't even have an outline. I'm just going to read this verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you realize what Paul is saying here? He's saying, I want to know God. Johnny, I want to know him more than anything. He said, I count all things. But I count all things loss just so I can know him. Are we willing to say that this morning? Or is that job just too important? Or is that relationship? Or is that sin just too important? Amen. It's amazing. So I don't know if we've sung it here at our church. I love the song, More About Jesus. Y'all know what song I'm talking about? And then I was in the church one time. It was an old-time preacher, Brother Heich. This man was old-time. And he got up, and the church started singing this song during the morning service. And he stood up and said, stop. You sit down. And he started going around the church and said, y'all are at Sunday school. You don't want to know more about Jesus. He said, y'all going to sing that song in this church. Sit down. And he had to sit down. Talk about humbly. He goes, you weren't even here for Sunday school. You don't want to know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, so I can't figure it out. Well, if you come and stay long enough, you will. Amen. You can't figure it out. God will show you. He'll help you. More about Jesus. Now, could you imagine being in that service? Amen. He said, you don't want to know more about Jesus. I'm telling you what, we need to know more about him. And Paul said here that, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He wanted to know God more than anything. That's a good place to be. Amen. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. You know, Paul talks about over there in 1 Corinthians all the things that he went through. He went through the beatings. He went through prison. He went through snake bites. He went through storms. He went through shipwrecks. He did all that. And he goes, all that means nothing. It doesn't mean anything as long as I know Christ.
Amen.
Amen. As long as I know him. We're going to get messed up in this world. Though this world despises you. The devil despises you. And he's going to do everything he can to hurt you and knock you down. But you know what you need to say when you get knocked down? All this is for the glory of God. And maybe I'll get to know him a little bit better. Well, man, I ended up in the hospital with my back broken. I can't even get out of bed. Well, guess what? You get to spend a lot of time with God's Word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Things happen in our life. You know what Paul said? Everything that happened in Paul's life, Brother Hyde, he said it was just an opportunity for him to get to know God more.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in prison. Guess what I get to do? I get to witness to the jailer, and I get to write some books of the Bible that God can use down through the ages.
Amen.
What would we do?
Well, I'm sitting here in prison. I was just trying to serve God.
Amen. No, Paul said that I may know him.
That's right.
All that I just count as well as dung. Y'all know what dung is? It's nasty. Amen. He said, I just count. Everything I've done doesn't mean anything. I just want to know him. I don't want to be known as a fool in God's eyes, do you? That I may know him. Look what he says there. Where am I at? And be found in him, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul wanted to know God. He wanted to know Jesus. Young man, I know we got some in here. We got some right here about to get ready to graduate. You say, I'm trying to, I want to know things. I want to know things for my job. I want to know things for school. I want to do all that. Get to know who God is.
Amen.
God will work out all the rest of that. There's some of these people in here will tell you they did all that first. They sought the job. They sought the relationship. They sought after the things of the world. And now that they're trying to get a hold of God, they'll look back on their life and say, I wish I would have done that when I was your age.
Yes.
God would have still given you that job. He still would have blessed you with those other things. He would have, but it would have been a whole lot easier of a walk having knowing God.
Yeah.
Say, would there have been trials? Yeah, there'll still be trials. There'll still be hardships, but oh my, so much sweeter with the Creator, the heaven and earth on my side.
Amen.
Know Him. Know what pleases Him. Before you ever get in a relationship with a girl, know what the Bible says about that relationship. Know what God is pleased with and what He's not pleased with. And in return, He'll bless you for it.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bless you for it.
Right.
Let me leave you with this thought. Let me say this first. How do you get to know Him? You got to spend time with Him.
Amen.
I would never ever know my wife if I didn't spend time with her. Some of y'all might say, you're gone all the time. How do you know her? Amen?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know. How in the world am I supposed to know anything about God unless I spend time with Him?
Yeah.
Unless I turn off the television, turn off the computer, and spend time with Him. Amen? I've heard people before, and I hate to use this crude illustration. They say, well, I read the Bible when I'm in the bathroom. Amen? I got my Bible reading in. Is that all you think about Jesus? Is that the only time you talk to your spouse is when you're in the bathroom? Amen. I hate to be crude like that, but that's how we treat God.
Man.
I got my Bible reading in. Man, why don't we just talk to Him all day long?
Yes.
In prayer. Be in a state of prayer with God. Read our Bible, man. Every time you get a chance. You say, hey, let me ask you this. Do you get a break where you work? Read God's Word. Just read a couple of verses of it. Talk to God. Amen. You say, well, I only get 30 minutes to eat. Well, maybe you don't need to eat. He said, well, look, I know. Amen. Maybe we need to read God's Word. So how do I get to know Him? Prayer, Bible reading, preaching, singing, just worshiping Him. You'll get to know Him. You know, Brother Heitch, we talk about the things that we love. We do. Wait till football season comes along. I'm telling you, we talk about what we love. But what about talking about Jesus? Amen. There's people that brag on their kids, they'll brag on their wife and their husband, and praise God for it. That's a good thing. But what about bragging on Jesus? Amen. Because we know Him. Let me ask you this in closing. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Will you be found a fool or faithful? Amen. Will you be found a fool or fervent? Will you be found a fool or fearless? And last of all, and this is the most important, will you be found a fool or fixed? Say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about saved. You know what would be a tragedy? Easter Sunday and April's Fool. You know, when you leave out of here today, you're going to be either one or the other.
That's right.
According to God, you're going to either know Him. Are you going to leave a fool? And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ sent His Son, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine.
Amen.
Brother Brian, He took every sin,
that's right,
past, present, and future. He knew. God knew what sins I would commit next week.
That's right.
This next week, Brother, actually, He already knew it. And He took it and He died on that cross. And the Bible says that He took those sins, and when He was on the cross, everything went dark, and all those sins were placed on His Son. And he says in Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Christ cried from the cross of Calvary. As God dealt with sin on His Son, He dealt with your sin on His Son. And the Bible says that He gave up the ghost, and He died that day, and He went down to hell, and He took your sins, and He left them. And then He went over and He got the keys of death and hell.
Yes.
He took those keys from death and hell. He conquered the grave and He rose from the dead.
Yes.
And He went up and He got up there and He
Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of sin, somebody has to pay for it.
That's right.
That wage of sin is death. Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. Start playing. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. I thank God. I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you this morning. Are you going to leave a fool? Or are you going to leave knowing him? Child of God here this morning, are we playing church? Are we going through the motions? Do we really know God? Are we spending time praying? Are we a fool in God's, in the world's eyes? We look pretty good. But guess what? Brother Hunter's not my standard. Well, man, I did better than he did this week. Well, he's not my standard. That Bible's my standard. Jesus Christ is my standard. I did better than my wife, or I did better than my husband. They're not the standard. That I may know him. Amen. You want to know him this morning? Or the title of the message is, are you a fool? Let's all stand every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke, hey, listen, if Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to your heart, would you come get on the altar this morning and say, God, would you help me, Father? Anybody at all say, God spoke to my heart this morning. I know you're tired. I know this is important business this morning, though, with God. There might be somebody here that you, hey, if you were to die today, you are not 100% sure you're going to heaven. Don't leave a fool. Please don't leave a fool. Why don't you leave knowing God? Brother, sister, Hyde, you bring your Bibles, come to the front if you would. Just come stand up here. Every head bowed, every eye. Nobody's looking around, please. If you need somebody to pray with you, you come down. We've got a man, we've got a lady that can take the Bible, they can pray with you this morning. If you just step out and say, God spoke to my heart this morning. Let me ask you this. Say, Brother Andrew, if I was to die today, I know 100% sure that if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your right hand? Say, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that we may know that we have eternal life. You can know it. You can put them down. Thank you. You can know that. The Bible says you can know. And either one, you're calling God a liar if you don't believe that. Amen. You can know that you have eternal life. And God's not a liar. There's some this morning that cannot raise their hand. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I'll tell you what, hell is not worth embarrassment. Hell's not worth it this morning. Every head bowed, nobody's looking around, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, please come down here. Just take that step out. We'll get somebody to come down with you, and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. God did not create hell for you. He created it for the devil and his angels. But hell's a place that you'll end up if you don't accept Christ as your Savior this morning. Please do not leave here a fool. Don't leave here a fool. Hey, you want to see your family when you die, when you go to heaven? You want to see your family and your kids and your grandkids and all those people? You want to see them again? You need to get born again. Amen. I've had many loved ones that have died and gone on, but guess what? I know I'm going to see them again because I'm saved and they're saved and we're going to have a family reunion in the sky. Would you just step out right now and say, I do not know for sure, Brother Andrew, but I want to know. We'll have a lady take the Bible or a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you step out right now? I'm about to pray in just a second. Would you come out? I'm pleading with you this morning. Don't be a fool. You're either going to be a fool or you're going to know him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody say, Brother Andrew, I needed that message this morning. I ask that you pray for me and just help me with my relationship with Christ that I may know him. I see those hands. There's a couple hands. Anybody all raise their right hand and say, hey, I want to know him. And there's been some things in my life that I just need to get a little closer to him. I see those hands. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we sung a moment ago, Lord, I wasn't there when you died and I wasn't there when you rose up. But Father, I thank you and praise you
that I was there when you saved my soul, Lord, and I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget where I was, God. I thank you for it. And you've been so good to me. Father, I've failed you so many times. Father, I've failed you. I've disappointed you, Lord. And Lord, I'm sorry for it, God. I pray that you give us a deeper hunger for your word. I pray, God, you'd help us to fall in love with you and fall in love with your word and your church. Lord, that's my prayer for this church and for our young people, God, as they would fall in love with you. And I pray you'd help us, God. There's some hands that were not raised a moment ago. And Father, I pray that before it's eternally too late, God, before they walk out these doors, they would get with somebody. Let us show them from your precious word, the words that I've already quoted. God, they just have to believe in thine heart, God, that you were raised from the dead, Lord, and you'll save them, Father. I pray, God, that you just please help them, God, to understand that this morning. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But before we're dismissed, I want to do something just really, really quickly. Our camp meeting starts in exactly 1 month. And so what I would like to do, you can be seated just very quickly. What I'd like to do is I would like to start a prayer and fasting chain that lasts the entire month. Now, I know there's some people because medically they cannot do a full fast, and that's fine. Do what you can. Your fast maybe needs to be the television. Amen. For me, it's food. I got to, you know, if I want to show God I'm serious, I'll cut that off. Amen. And so it's not going to be for several days. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I want at least every day for the rest of this month, all the way up until camp meeting starts, that at least one or two people every day are spending time praying and fasting every day. And we're going to start tomorrow on Monday. And so if you can do it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm going to go through the list and I'm going to write it down. And if we have multiple people, then praise the Lord. And you say, well, I don't understand prayer and fasting. Well, the people fast for different reasons, weight loss and all those things. But in the Bible, he talks about things happening because of prayer and fasting. You're telling your flesh no to something to prove to God that you're serious. And we want God to do something during our camp meeting. Amen. There's things we have to pray about. We got prayer lists. Spend time in prayer. And you replace whatever that thing is you're fasting about with prayer, with reading your Bible. All right? So let's do this. And I know it's a little different, but I want to do this leading up to our camp meeting. I want God to know that we're serious about wanting to hear from Him. And so, all right, who wants to take Monday? They said they're going, all right, there's one there, two. All right, Emily and David. All right, they're going to take Monday. All right, what about Tuesdays? And it's every Monday for the rest of the month. Tuesdays, all right, we got three there. All right, Wednesdays. All right. Thursday. Okay. All right, Fridays. All right. All right, Saturday. All right, I'll do Saturday too. All right, and then Sundays. I'll do Sunday. All right. Well, I meant to do that earlier, but I think it's important to show God that we're serious about it. And if you can, you know, replace the meals with praying and those kind of things. Make sure you drink water and do those things. But you just pray about it. Let's really make this a matter of prayer each and every day. And then the week, the few days between Sunday the 29th, which is also popcorn preaching, and Wednesday night starting, we're going to try to do 24 hours praying where somebody's praying every hour leading up to that meeting. All right? And I think every time I've ever been a part of this, God's blessed it, and He's helped me. Amen. So, and let me tell you this, you'll get out of it what you put into it. All right, you'll get out of it what you put into it. Amen. All right, Brother Heitz, you stand and pray for us one more time, brother, and then we'll be dismissed.
Father, thank you so much. We celebrate the Resurrection Day. We have this day that we just set aside one day just to come together and just have a good time in the house of God, just thinking about what you did for us. God, we look forward to that day when Jesus comes back. Bless those clouds open, and we just can't wait to see you face to face. So, Father, we just pray that you would help us to stay excited about the Word of God, about our church, and everything that's going on. We ask you to go with us now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.